would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward, back live in the studio. Oh, that's still going. There's something going over top. I gotta remember to turn that off later. Anyway, back in here. Gonna get right into it. Summer Camp Beef 2017 Part 9, where we last left off last week. I just had an HR meeting about some concerns about me talking about work on the podcast. Work, of course, being a child care provider at a summer camp last summer. And I came back from that meeting pretty dejected. Terrible summer all around, and that felt like the final nail in the coffin of me getting a new job in the organization in the fall. So I came to work that day, and I'll get into it in a bit, but I had to leave early, and I tried to talk to my boss, but she was busy, so I sent this monster email, which is probably going to need to be split up into two parts, but we'll see how far into it we get for part 9. We'll save the rest for part 10. Boss lady, I'm not going to name her name. Apologies in advance for the long email, but I have a lot on my mind, and I don't know if I would have had time to get into it all with you in person. I probably could have edited this out. I've been dealing with intermittent issues with anxiety since October. The issue is not severe enough to warrant being medicated, but today was a bad day. I've been seeing a therapist who has been helping me develop ways to cope with this issue when it arises. I have already been told that I can't take any more daytime appointments, so I won't be able to go back to see her until September. This morning, I had a tightness in my chest and it was a bit of a raw nerve. I had a hard time focusing on anything, so I thought it would be best if I left for the day. I think the meeting I had with HR this morning is what put me over the top, but it's an accumulation of things, mostly work-related. So I thought at this point my best option would be to just lay out all my cards on the table and explain. I don't know what the solution is, but I'm hoping if you understand what's going on, we can work this out. I had been unhappy with my job at JDI, the previous job, for a while. This was a big part of this new anxiety issue. My doctor put me out of work for a few weeks in February because of it. That, along with my volunteer work at Glen Falls Elementary, it created some more urgency in my job hunt. And rather than just looking for anything, I really wanted to get back to working with kids. In May, my previous boss gave me 6 weeks' notice that he was eliminating my position and they wanted me to go back to my old nights and weekends shift since he wasn't allowed to bring on another person to fill that. I was told that my options were to either take that job or quit. I was miserable working that shift before, and being on different schedules negatively affected my relationship with my wife. I wasn't going to go back, and I didn't want to quit because I wouldn't have been able to get EI if I didn't find a new job. So this put some more urgency into my job search. I wasn't planning on taking my old job back or quitting. I still don't know what would have happened after that 6 weeks because I took this job at the organization that shall not be named before that. Part of me wanted to see what happened after that 6 weeks. As you know, I initially turned down the organization's offer because it was temporary and it was a big pay cut. My best guess was that if I had waited out the 6 weeks at the last job, I'd have probably been laid off. It would have been nice to have the rest of the summer off collecting EI, but the next day I had a volunteer appreciation thing at the elementary school, and I decided that I shouldn't turn down the opportunity to get back in the field of working with kids and maybe get my foot in the door with this organization. I thought I was making the right decision, but I'm not so sure anymore. The organization's core values really resonated with me, and I was looking forward to working with the organization. One of those values is having a, quote, engaged and well-trained staff. And during our interview, I mentioned how important this was to me and that I was glad that I wouldn't just be tossed in over my head without adequate training. I have a teaching background, but it has been 5 years since I was in a classroom and even longer since I was doing coursework at UMB. And aside from a day and a half orientation, which mostly just covered policy and the organization's values, I was just kind of dropped in with, we'll call him my nightmare child and the other kids. The, quote, just figure it out as you go approach seems antithetical to the organization's values, but I was willing to give it a try. That's what I did, and as discussed in our meeting last week, I did ask for some guidance from Jen, the infamous 22-year-old boss. I asked her a couple of times, and that didn't get me anywhere. After the inspectors came, she told me that they, quote, didn't care what the aides do. As I found out last week, they do care that I wasn't with my nightmare child at that moment, but she didn't feel the need to pass that along. She said she gave me some pointers at some point, but I'm still 90% sure that conversation never happened. I'm really disappointed that she says that she could have helped more if I'd just asked, even if it was true. Why keep that information to herself just because I didn't ask hard enough? I didn't feel I was getting anywhere with Jen, so that's when I reached out to you for more guidance, and I appreciate that you brought in other ladies that she brought in to help and do an assessment, but whatever insight they're going to give on Friday is going to be too little too late. We've decided to switch me off working with Nightmare Child because at this point it might be a lost cause. I really wanted to make it work. I still do. I feel like I've failed, and it might have been avoided if I was given some guidance earlier. As much of a pain in the butt as he can be, I've still developed a bond with him over the past several weeks. I wish I knew where I went wrong or what could have been done to fix it. For the rest of the summer, I'm willing to give child number two a try, but I wish there was a way that we could work it out with nightmare child number one. After putting in so much time with him already, I recognize that the ship has sailed, though, and I'll do whatever you think is best. Almost to the midpoint where I can cut this off. I don't know what a better option would have been, but I think it was a mistake to send him over to location number two without me last week. And just like when Jen sent me away from Nightmare Child when he was being uncooperative, it's sending him the message that the more he misbehaves, the more likely he's going to get exactly what he wants. So when Jen would send me away, I never even got a quick debrief on what they discussed or any situations on how I could deal with the issue myself next time. I wasn't kept in the loop of what was going on at location number two last week. Instead of the fresh start that I was hoping for when I rejoined him this week, he just felt like I was being forced back on him after he was given a week off. When you and Nightmare Child agreed that I would keep my distance as long as he participates, it just further reinforced the idea that he was right. John is the problem, and when Nightmare Child doesn't follow the rules, he's going to have to spend time with John as a punishment. When that idea didn't work, we took it a step further and offered him a new support worker. Now Nightmare Child thinks that he has more sway than I do now, and he's not wrong. The decision has already been made, but I feel like this is going to be a mistake too. I could be wrong, but I don't think giving him a new aide is going to help. He's always going to want the opposite of what people are asking him to do. Within 10 minutes of telling him I wasn't going to be his aide anymore, he could not get enough of me. He would not leave me alone and wanted to hang out the entire time. And it's not easy coming to work every day and having Nightmare Child hate my guts and try to get me fired. It's even harder when he flip-flops and reminds me of the occasions when he can be a sweet boy and we get along. I went down to the pool today because I wasn't sure how long you were going to be tied up before we could talk. Nightmare Child saw me. He came over and wanted me to come in the water and play with him, and I told him I wasn't feeling well today and said I was glad he was having fun and he should keep doing so. And given my emotional state in the morning, I cried a little after that. I'm glad I was wearing sunglasses. We'll cut it off. That's about halfway through this monster dump of an email that I sent to my boss. You can tune in next time for part 10 of Summer Camp 2017 Beef. Oh my god, I'm reading that word for word aside from changing. I did not refer to him as Nightmare Child in the actual email. That's just for your benefit. But what we will get to is my guest, Travis Boyce. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hot off, beating my bottom off at the Sunday Laughter Dark McGill's Roast Battle quarterfinals last night. We'll talk a bit more about that in a bit. But for now, I thought this was important since we both dropped some rhymes last night. Well, wait, let's see if the background stuff is still going first. No, it's not, so I can turn that on. So, for now, let's hear some Flight of the Conchords with Hip Hopopotamus versus Rhymenoceros.
Yes.
On St. John Forward Radio.
I'm the motherfucking rhinoceros. My beasts are fat and the buds are on my back and I'm horny.
I'm horny.
If you choose to proceed, you will indeed concede. Cause I hit you with my flow, the wild rhyme will stampede. I'm not just wild, I'm trained, domesticated. I was raised by a rapper and writer that dated and subsequently procreated. That's how it goes. Here's the hip-hop-hopotamus, the hip-hop, hip-hop.
They call me the hip-hop-hopotamus. My lyrics are bottomless.
Sometimes our rhymes are polite, like thank you for dinner, Miss Wright. That was very delicious, good night. Sometimes they're obscene, like a pornographic dream. NC-17 with ladies in a stream of margarine. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, some margarine.
They call me the hip-hop-hopotamus. Flows that glow like phosphorus. Popping off the top of this esophagus. Rocking this metropolis. I'm not a large water-dwelling mammal. Where did you get that preposterous hypothesis? Did Steve tell you that perchance? Steve.
My rhymes and records, they don't get played. Because my records and rhymes, they don't get made. And if you rap like me, you don't get paid. And if you roll like me, you don't get laid.
My rhymes are so potent that in this small segment I made all of the ladies in the area pregnant. Yeah, sometimes my lyrics are sexist, but you lovely bitches and hoes should know I'm trying to correct this.
Other rappers dismay, say my rhymes are sissy. Why
exactly?
What? Why?
Be more constructive with your feedback, please. Why?
Why? Why? Cause I rap about reality. Like me and my grandma drinking a cup of tea. There ain't no party like my nana's tea party. Hi, ho. I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
Who's the mother flippin'?
I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
I'm the mother flippin'.
Mother flippin'.
Roast battle warrior, my beefs are notorious. Number two comedian, blowing up like helium. Rise above the tedium, burn you like magnesium. Zip like a jacket, through all the brackets. I'm at F5 and I'm coming full force. Here to fuck you up, not showing remorse. Straight from the R bar, not where the stars are. Rise above the subpar, if you're not down, I don't give a fuck. Stick to the yucks and give a dick a suck. God, so couldn't do the job, so how could you not know? Ain't got no punchlines, check his face, I punch fine. Hit you with my roast just like a bat. I'm gonna put you down, tears stain the mat. TJ Boyce, the judge's last choice. Ladies in the audience, the opposite of voice. For this bald teenager with a squeaky voice. I'll burn you in the kitchen, I'll burn you in the den. If I got to, Travis, I'll even burn you again.
So much bluster. Tears did not stain the mat. Travis Boyce, how are you doing?
Good.
I already asked you that. So let's get into it. What's I don't even know how to approach this. We had the roast battle last night, and you beat me. How are you feeling about it?
It was a very, I'll say, strange night.
Yeah.
It was definitely, it was odd for me, because I was able to get the victory. However, I had what I call an 8 mile moment. And I have not blanked on stage since May 2016.
Yeah.
So with a bunch of my friends there playing this, you know, big arrogant character in a big battle with championship implications, boom. Like, my material totally left my mind. I did a joke about the Boston Marathon, and you just said one thing. You said, oh, relevant. And then Arif laughed at it, and I don't know what it was that threw me off enough that my material just vanished.
I thought the Boston Marathon was late. Was in the second chunk.
No, it was in the first. It was okay. In the first bit, and I thought all hope was lost, but then you made one joke. Like, you said, like, oh, your mother choked. And yeah. I'm like, right, I had jokes about John's mom, and that was able to save round one for me. And
yeah, watching it back, I was like, I tipped him off. I reminded him what did. His material was. My intention with the first joke was to throw you off, and I think it worked a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I would say
I wanted to get in a dig about the killing at the high school thing, because I know that you mentioned that on this Bloodcast, and but stealing the joke thing too, I wanted to throw that in.
You know what? It's funny. Like, that one personally stung the most, but thankfully for me,
the audience had no idea.
Yeah, only comedians know about that. I was like, ooh, that hurts. Then no one else was laughing. I'm like, okay, you know what? That's all right.
Yeah. Well, I knew. Like, with the, it wasn't even my intention last time, but with Brian, like, the slashing up the the paper god, so like threw him off, and I wasn't even planning on that. So I'm like, all right, I gotta come out swinging and throw him off.
You did, man.
That's why I wanted to go first.
You did it, man. You threw off both members of, or two of the three members of Children of a Lesser God, so Dan knocked off the other one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a crazy battle. I'm happy I was able to persevere through that and get the W. Because it would have sucked for me, because, like, I don't mind losing, but when you lose by your own hand, that hurts more. Like, if I had done all my material and you had done all your material and you won, I would have been like, okay, that's the way it is. But knowing where I had just forgotten the second round, I didn't even do a second round pretty much.
Yeah, well, I forgot my third one too. I don't think it was necessarily that I was thrown off. It just escaped my brain. Luckily, I had the notes in my pocket.
Yeah, see, but, I had the notes for the two bits that I remembered. Go figure. So yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna have trouble remembering these. Go figure, I didn't. And then the ones I thought I'd have on lock.
Yeah.
Of course, I flubbed on and blanked.
Yeah, and for a change, I'm not butthurt about it. It was a good matchup.
Absolutely.
And I did well enough that you know, it could have gone either way depending on who the judges were, what the mood of the room was.
I do want to say this, and this is not blowing smoke. This is not false humility.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself a person who has a pretty good gauge on reality. I was one of those kids in high school that, like, if I took a test, I usually knew if I flunked or aced before I got it back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I battled Ben McDonald, before the judges even spoke, I thought I lost.
Yeah.
When I battled Dan McCarthy, before the judges even spoke, I thought I won. When I battled you last night, before the judges spoke, I thought for sure I lost. And that's not blowing smoke, that is the truth.
Well, thank you. I agree.
Fair. No. Fair if you did, though.
No, you got a better response. It didn't hurt that you had a room full of supporters. But no, I wasn't sure how it was gonna go. I don't think it was a definitive either way. I think
fair.
Steve Fudge was the first deciding, and when he went with you, I knew that I was toast. I was pretty sure Mark was going to go for you. Arif was up in the air, and Arif was on the fence.
I've never seen a judge just be like, can someone else do this? Like, he was so torn.
Yeah, well, when he was torn, I was like, tiebreaker, 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 because I had another one that probably would have been better than the actual last one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have any. I'll be honest with you. I had nothing for overtime, so if RF had made that call, you would have
yeah,
wrecked me.
But yeah, I don't know. But and you know, I again, I'm not offended. You earned it, and you
thank you
won fair and square. I appreciate but that. You know, after the fact, I'm like, oh, I should have done this, or if I hadn't have choked on my last joke, would it have made the difference?
That's always the way.
And I thought of a perfect response to something that I could have said to something that you said earlier.
Right.
And like my fourth tiebreaker joke was probably better than my actual third joke. And I'm just like playing it out. And
yeah.
Like,
when I lost to Ben, I had a joke about his girlfriend and I got the name wrong.
Yeah.
And that was and then when he said her name, like a day later, I thought, oh, this would have been a good comeback for that, right? So
yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, well, with stuff like that, with the fact checking end of it, yeah, you kind of have to, if somebody corrects you, you just have to be like, so?
Who yeah, cares? Exactly.
Like the last one with God, so I didn't know what kind of car he drove. I just picked Corolla and
yeah,
he corrected me.
That's a lame car. Like,
who cares? Yeah. It works. But it's fine, and you know, I'm not embarrassed, and I don't feel like I was robbed or anything. So it was what it was. Maybe we'll square off again someday in the future.
I would be glad to run that back. Absolutely.
Yeah, same jokes. No home field advantage.
There you go.
No.
Do it at the university with all your radio buddies.
I don't have any radio buddies.
Aww.
I don't
know. I just feel bad.
No. Yeah. In fact, I think the radio station is bullying me. We were looking at I took some pictures on Instagram. There's a bunch of new posters in here explaining things about how to be a good radio person. And one of them says, ramble. Don't go on and on and on and on and on. You'll lose your listeners' attention. Short, sweet, and constant reminders to keep new listeners in the loop will go far. So maybe my ninth 10-minute ramble of my summer camp beef 2017.
Telling John Forward not to ramble is like telling the birds not to sing.
It's true. And, this is like polished John Forward rambling. You should have heard the old radio show. Oh, ooh, my God. H to the C back in the day. I've actually, I've got an old episode of, like, not the podcast version, but the actual radio show of H to the C on a CD somewhere. I think it was a Christmas episode. Maybe I'll throw that on at some point in the future.
I think the joke is true. You get off on tangents.
Yes. So, roast battle. And the rest of it was... how did it go? Yeah, I remember.
So it was Nesbitt versus Shand first.
Yeah, Shand. This was the first that we saw of Shand. She kind of got a pass on the first round.
A bye, because
Joe Butler never showed up, and that was a bit of a bloodbath. I think that was a very definitive John Nesbitt victory.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I thought Shand had some good lines.
Yeah,
but I just thought not only did Nesbitt have more harsher hits, he had really good rebuttals.
Yeah, well, and it was more like original stuff that we hadn't heard before. Like, everybody's made the John Nesbitt is homeless variations. So yeah, you know, I will point out, I think I'm not a very seasoned roast person, but between last round and the my birthday roast in 2016, I think that's the first time we got a dead mom joke. So
wow.
Yeah, I was surprised at all the times that it never came up. But
yeah, I guess that's true.
Trailblazer.
what a thing to be known for.
Yeah.
Innovation.
Yeah, I think maybe the open relationship too. I don't know if anyone else has gone there. I think
Dan McCarthy on yours. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know somebody said something just basically about the punishment that May has to go through just being with me. I wasn't sure how
specific
also, to that it was.
And also, Jamie Splude did a little rap on your roast in 2016, and
right.
she mentioned the open relationship, too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess you're not that original. Fair enough.
I stomped my praise. There you go.
And then Adam versus James was... was interesting.
Surprisingly, I mean, the intro was hilarious.
Yeah,
when he had the car part, Troy's car part, that was really funny.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want to see the actual roast, just find Jonathan Nesbitt on Facebook, and he's got the video on there. It gets cut off before the judges' decisions on our roast, but you get to see the rest of it. So. Yeah, the story with that one is Troy couldn't make it, so Adam kind of inserted himself into it, wink wink, unexpectedly. And
read this. That was so funny.
Yeah, that was funny. It wasn't really a roast, though. I'm kind of glad that part of me is glad that I don't move on to the next round, because if I had to roast Adam, it would have been funny, but it's not really a real.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been a roast. It would have been a performance.
I don't know if I'm breaking the news here, but I am roasting Adam Landry next round. And I'm actually nervous because Adam Landry won last round.
You don't know what's going to happen.
He won by being not funny. Like that was the humor. He's like he's like the king of St. John anti-humor.
Yeah.
So he can be so unfunny against me, he can win because that's what he does.
Well, you work with that. I don't know how, but you know what's coming.
It's bizarre to prepare for. That's all I'll say.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna be my mean old self. But
I think James was at a bit of a disadvantage there because he kind of had to play along. If you just kind of stick to your guns and just murder him, then it doesn't matter what kind of silly nonsense that he does.
And inconsistent, because last year, Arif in his second chance beat Dan, but Dan went on.
Right.
But Adam in his second chance beat James, and Adam's going on. So
who cares about rules? It's just a fun show.
True. I mean, just saying.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of consistency.
Yeah, fair enough. But So that's going to be an interesting. Do you know what the other matchups are going to be? Are we even allowed to say?
Yeah, well, process of elimination. It'd be Dan Nesbitt. Oh, right. Nesbitt.
Yeah, there's only two left.
Yeah.
So they're not doing the finals in the same night again, are they?
I don't know. I kind of hope not after blanking on one round against you. I'm like, I have to write three battles in one night and then only do two?
Yeah. Well, I had a conversation with Godso at some point, and I had at least voiced my opinion that it would be better to save the finals for another night just to give more time to prepare for it. And also, like, especially the intros have been a lot more elaborate this time. And what are you going to have, like, two separate walk-ons?
I think that's why I'm doing well this year is everyone here is obviously influenced by comedy. Mm-hmm. But my two biggest influences for this year's roast battle have been professional wrestling and rap battles.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of King of the Dot, and guys like Pat Stay and Soul Con and Disaster have definitely like had a huge influence of how I kind of portray that character.
Yeah, well, my entire knowledge of rap battles is the movie 8 Mile. I've never really delved deep into that, and I don't know who any of those people are.
Oh, I definitely had the Be Rabid moment. What did you think of Dan Terrio and John's battle?
I wasn't entirely paying attention because I was getting ready. I'm gonna have to rewatch that one.
I definitely liked John's Reservoir Dogs entrance.
Yeah, that was
cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, well, again, the upside of losing is that I don't need to continue coming up with something to top myself for the intro. I wasn't even sure, like, what am I going to do after making a life-size Brian Godso paper doll and tearing it up? And
I think you either...
It would depend on who. I'd probably think of something depending on who I was up against.
I'd say it was on par with the Freddy Krueger, if not better. That was really good.
Right. Well, thank you. Some of that was written. A big part of that was I just poured through my previous MC Crosswalk lyrics and just stole out lines.
Like the four words warrior. I'm like, hey, I've heard this.
the intro to this show is St. John Forward, but the roast battle warrior, that part was all written. The lines that I stole from MC Crosswalk were the if you're not down, I don't give an F. Mm-hmm. And I said this time, stick to the yucks and give my blank a suck. I think there was obviously yucks was not mentioned in the MC Crosswalk song, but there was a version of that in the F5, and I'm coming full force here to blank you up, not showing remorse. That was an MC Crosswalk line. But, and looking through my old rap lyrics, I'm just shaking my head like, ugh, such a dork.
Hey, man, you know what? As a nerdcore fan, I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's take a break. Do you want to set up the song that you've selected for us to hear this evening?
I do.
I haven't heard of this or listened to it, so it's going to be new to me.
Once again, for the second time on your show, I am picking a New York straight edge band. However, I'm not picking this because they're straight edge. I love this song, Start Today, because it's always been there for me. It's about not procrastinating, and I've always been terrible with procrastinating. So I remember my first day of college, I listened to the song. My first day, whenever I get a new job, I listen to the song. Whenever I start a diet, as you mentioned last night, I listen to the song. Or start a new workout plan, listen to the song. So hopefully someone listening gets motivated by this and starts today.
All right. Well, we'll hear that in a moment after some brief words.
There's nothing going on in St. John.
It's so boring here. There's only one mall.
Hey now, if you feel the mall is your life, check it out.
There are community groups, cultural organizations, artists of all kinds, small businesses, and many more making things happen in the poor city, and Local FM wants to share them with you.
Tune in here to hear all your community news and events. And if you are somebody making things happen, email your listings, events, news, and more to psa@cfmh.ca today.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. It's the Mayor of Comedy, Shane Ogden, and this is 107.3 FM. Thank you so much for having me on.
Back on St. John Forward Radio here with Rose Battle champion, screw you, Joe Butler, Travis Boyce. So, Rose Battle last night. I think we covered that topic.
I'd say so.
So, what's going on comedy wise with you? I know you got some shows coming up. Last I heard you on the Spludcast, you seem to be on the tail end of a bit of a slump. How are you feeling about things now?
Oh, great. I talked about this quite a bit on the Spludcast. In mid-2017, I was in what I called the funk, you know, and I was just really down about a lot of different things in my life. And then I wrote The Bucket List, which was also made fun of last night. And
how could you not?
I mean, it's so easy. It's so easy, too. It's such a dorky thing to do. But I did The Bucket List, and I don't know. It gives you something to look forward to and strive for, and as simple and silly as it is. And that's helped a lot. And yeah. I've found since June 2017, I've been in a really good place.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I like to each his own. I don't get that. The the feeling, getting in a funk and slowing down the comedy. I kind of want to, I do the opposite, I think.
That makes sense. I find I've always had this almost like unhealthy relationship with comedy. I mean, not anymore, but I definitely did have this unhealthy relationship with comedy.
Well, how so? What do you mean by that?
Well, I would, I kind of put like too much focus on it at first. And I was like, I don't care if everything else sucks. Comedy's going kind of well for me.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's okay. But then when comedy was kind of, you know, I was having some rough moments in comedy. I'm like, oh, what do I do now? Comedy's my outlet. And now my outlet is making me sad. What do I do?
Yeah, I can see that. I've been through that. Like, I think I went through a similar thing. I think, it didn't last quite as long, but I found, like, whenever I would have, like, didn't make it into boot camp that time, and when I didn't win the hubcap 4 times in a row, I start feeling like, oh, well, boo-hoo, I didn't, like, but at a certain point, I stopped, like, and the whole yuck-yucks thing was kind of depressing. And just kind of the idea that, you know, I started doing comedy when there was nothing going on, and it was beyond my wildest dreams that there'd be a pro comedy club opening up. At least, who knows how much of it is due to anything, any contribution that I made, but it's here, and I was kind of not allowed to participate, and that was a pretty big bummer for a long time. So at a certain point, I just kind of decided to stop chasing after, like, the milestones, I guess, and just kind of have fun, and if whatever happens, happens.
And it's funny you say that, because I find once you stop doing that, that's usually when they happen.
Yeah.
Like for you, you won Battle of the Comedians in 2016 against Jimmy McKinley, who's an incredible comic.
Yeah. Well, technically, there's supposed to be another round to that never happened.
Really?
Well, that was the third round. Martin Saulnier won the first round. I don't remember who he was
Mark
up against.
Mark Splude won the other one.
Yeah. So me and Marty and Splude were supposed to do another one.
I just thought it was just three separate, like Battle of the Comedians 1, Battle of the Comedians 2, Battle of the Comedians 3 kind of thing, and you happened to win one of them.
Well, yeah, and that was a big, you know, I felt good about that. I worked really hard on it, and, you know, I like Jimmy, but part of me was I want to destroy him.
I want to add, too, though, when you did that, Jimmy was on fire, man.
Yeah.
Jimmy was on that CBC Laugh Out Loud thing. He had opened for Jerry D in Harbor Station.
Yeah.
You know, he was killing it, and he won hubcap.
Right.
And then he does this, and you beat him. So that was super cool.
Yeah, and again, I feel like an asshole, but because, you know, Jimmy's a nice guy, and I like him.
The sweetest man ever.
But, you know, there's part of me that's like, he's getting all this stuff, but yeah, we'll see about that.
and
I'm going to do it on this show that nobody cares about.
It was kind of the same with me this year. You know, I focused on other things and, you know, focused on being happy.
Hmm.
In other areas of my life, which was healthy and smart to do. And then, oh, hey, Travis, do you want to open for Kenny versus Spenny?
Yeah.
Hey, I win the roast battle championship, right? Like, those are probably the two best things that happened for me in comedy so far this year when I wasn't trying as hard, I should say. I mean, maybe that's the right way to put it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and like the stuff like that, it doesn't mean that they completely stopped trying. Like, my Honey Garlic show last summer, that was a big thing for me, and I don't know how I would have felt about it if it was a failure, but, you know, I think it turned out well. I listened back to the tape now, and I'm like, that's a little rough. It could use some polish, but, like, the version of it that I played on the radio was the third time I ever ran that hour-long set, so it's not supposed to be finished, but I'm happy with how it came out, and I might bring it out and do it at another French festival or something. I don't think it's something that would work in a comedy club, but I worked really hard on it, and I made some money, and I've heard nothing but good things from the people that saw it, and I felt good about that, so... That kind of thing, that was kind of a risk, because that's kind of, I've got my own, I put a few $100 into just even being a part of it, and promotion and all that stuff, and, like, no openers, no nothing, it was just John Forward for an hour, so Live or die, it was on me. So if I had failed, I probably would have been in a bit of a shame spiral. But it worked out. And, you know, but still, even when I stopped, like, kind of grasping for the rings or whatever you want to call it, I still never stopped doing it, I guess.
Oh, for
sure. I kind of have to, because I got my my two shows that I run every month, so...
That's true, too.
At the bare minimum, I've got that to at least, not that I couldn't just step aside and put other people on it. Like, the last O'Leary show, I didn't even perform on it. I just handed that off to Brittany. Whoever you want to bring with you, go for it.
Nice. That's awesome.
She filled out the spot, so I was like, oh, no room for me. Okay. But that's fine. But yeah, I don't mind taking a night off, and it's nice to go and just watch. But
oh, for sure.
I feel like when I'm kind of depressed, and it helps. Like, I think I had a big shame spiral, like, back in the original Shane Ogden beef, and he sent me a litany of nasty messages on Facebook that day, and I just laid in bed like all day feeling sorry for myself. And I was just gonna go up to Wilser's room with Arif and Chris Trotter and watch a show, and they bullied me into performing, and I went up and I did well and felt better.
Yeah, that's always a good feeling.
Yeah. Now if I had a bombed
oh, right. You know what I mean? That's the thing about comedy, too. It's almost a gamble some days on how you're feeling. I'm like, what if I go up and bomb? But then you might go up and kill, and you feel elated, and you're on a high the whole night.
Yeah, well, I stopped caring about bombing. Like, if it's a show that people have bought tickets to see, then I'm more careful, I guess.
For sure.
I don't even remember the last time I've bombed on a show that people have bought tickets for. I've bombed at the R Bar and open mics and whatever, but
I remember mine.
Yeah.
Chuckles 2017, Brett Martin. Oh, that was...
I never saw that one.
Good. It was Travis Lindsay and Andrew Vaughn from Nova Scotia,
mm-hmm.
and Brett Martin from Manitoba. And I'll just say that everyone not from New Brunswick did well that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a rough go for me, that one. That's over a year ago now, though.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, we've all got... I don't think there's anybody that has done Chuckles that hasn't bombed at least one night on there.
It's a weird, weird venue.
I don't think Mark's ever bombed. I've seen him do okay a couple of times, but yeah, he usually does well.
I saw him do okay, but he turned it around. He was opening for Danbra, and... He started slow, and he made one joke to a woman in the front row, and everyone was on his side after that.
Yeah.
But that would be the closest.
Yeah, no, my first night at Chuckles was a bomb. That was when Shane Ogden went up and made fun of me on stage, and I was too busy feeling sorry for myself for bombing, and everybody else got mad at Shane for mouthing off about me, and I just went with it. That was, like, right in the earliest days of making up that original beef, so things were still kind of raw, and yeah. I didn't even care what he said on stage, but everybody else was like, that was so unprofessional, I can't believe he said that, and I was like, I remember that. You're right. I didn't care, but
yeah, I do remember that. I remember people who were mad at Shane, like, telling me, like, can you believe Shane said this? I'm like, well, it was kind of a funny line, and they're like, Travis, how could you?
Well, the one that he said for me, I don't even think he got a laugh out of the audience. Everybody in the room was like, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
And that was pretty, yeah, if he had gotten a laugh, I don't think anybody would have cared.
Probably not. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, well, and I didn't care either, because I know he did the R Bar like a month before that and bombed, and I kind of made fun of him. And I think Mark Harnett was like losing his mind about it, and I'm like, well, I talked some smack after he bombed at the R Bar that last time. He's like, yeah, but that's at an open mic. You don't do that on a pro show. So I'm like, yeah, okay, fair enough. Let's all be mad at Shane. But that was particularly devastating, because I think the night before I had done a show at the Snooty Fox in Fredericton that Vince was hosting.
Okay.
I forget who. May was on the show. Brett Lowry, he was the improv guy in Fredericton.
He
was
him.
Briefly around. A lot of his jokes were memes from the internet.
Oh, yeah, now I remember him. Yeah. Now I remember him.
Who else was on? I don't remember who else was probably on the Mary. Show, but it was, no, But it was unannounced. It was basically just in the middle of a restaurant, and they just plugged a microphone in and have at it, and people were eating their dinner.
That is the worst setup when they do that. That's why I did Hubcap the one time, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm bitter I lost. It was, no, I hate the venue.
Well, it does suck, and they treat the comics like garbage and make you sit in the back where you can't see or hear anything. Mm-hmm. And but at least it's set up as a show, and most of the people, well, at least the people in the front are there to watch a show, okay, even if they're not a good audience. This was literally just pop-up comedy show, no announcement. Here's some guy talking into a microphone. And everybody on the show bombed except for me. And I think the first time that I'd done a set standing up the whole time.
That was the secret.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, man, that's what it is. If I can do as well as I usually do sitting down with no energy, if I stand up, I'm going to blow the socks off people. So I went to Chuckles and opened for Derek Sega and stood up and nope. And I forget what my set was. I did like Bible Camp, which had never bombed prior to that. And
that's a good bit.
I don't remember what. I think I did Bible Camp and then the Diamond Story. And just nothing the whole time.
You know and what? And I the Brett Martin show I was telling you about, similar situation. I was doing stuff that had been killing for me. And I'm like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And then nothing, as you said. So that's always an awful feeling when you're killing and then at a big show you bomb.
Yeah. And especially like this was the first time that I had been allowed at Chuckles because Shane was mad at me for a while. So I still don't really entirely understand how it all started.
I saw you that Saturday though.
Yeah, I think I pulled it together a little bit. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I don't think it was as terrible as it was the first night at least. So, yeah, it happens, but, you know, if you don't take some risks, then you're not really going to grow. I was pretty, I did an all-crowd work guest spot at Yuck Yucks a couple of weeks ago that I was super nervous about. That could have gone ugly, but it ended up going pretty well. So
awesome.
I was happy about that, but, you know, I just got to find the balance between, like, not completely just hiding out and playing it safe and only doing stuff that I know is going to make me feel good, but whereas to not put so much stock on it that if I do fail, then I'm going to be miserable for a month about it. So, let's take a quick break before we close out the show. I think this is appropriate. Let's hear some Eels with Bombs Away.
Thank you.
Let's just cut that off early. We've got, you get the idea. The song doesn't have a lot of surprises in it after that point. We're about halfway through. But we're coming up on the end of the show. So so you hadn't been, well, you performed a bit with the Millennials tour, but it dropped off a bit in the last little while. You've got some stuff coming up. We're doing the show in St. Stephen on Friday the 19th.
Yeah.
And you're doing O'Leary's, whatever the first Friday in November is.
November 2nd, I believe.
Yeah. What else you got coming up?
I have another show shortly thereafter, November 7th at Yuck Yucks. I'm opening up for Triple X rated hypnotist Tony Lee. I've performed with him 3 or 4 times, and he's awesome every time. The crowd loves him. And Steven Gaudet, who's one of the bookers out here, has a act called The Dirty Mexican, and that does pretty well as well.
That sounds very progressive.
Hey. It's not, I'm not the one picking the name, but it kills. It does kill.
Yeah. I think the most hilarious Steve Gaudet thing that I can bring up. One time, I saw him doing karaoke at the R Bar, and he was literally, he brought a real electric guitar with him that was not plugged in so that he could play like air guitar along with the song while it was going.
That's kind of awesome.
Awesome's not the word that I would. I enjoyed watching it.
I love you, Steve.
Yeah, you should be embarrassed of yourself. Yeah, I've got a mixed relationship with Steve. He's always been nice to me, but in the early days, I had tried to put together a show. Like an out of town comic had approached me for something, and I'm like, "Oh, you put on shows in St. John," and he kind of completely flaked out on me and was going to help me set something up, and then just stopped messaging me, and it was just super weird. And it kind of annoyed me that he kept posting like whatever random nonsense he felt like and spamming that St. John Comedy Click page. And when I had him on my friends list on Facebook, he would spam my page and just post all his events for classic rock cover bands and stuff. And I just, I got tired of having to delete stuff off my page once a week. I unfriended him. No comment from Travis.
I'm just saying, the man's helped me out a bunch.
Yeah, right? And he's a nice guy. But
Him and Tony were the ones who set up the Kenny versus Spenny stuff for me. And that started through opening for Tony Lee and the Dirty Mexican.
Are you going to bang his daughter?
What? I don't even know his daughter.
Oh, I think you do. Tony Lee at Jr., if you're listening. Tony with an I. Anyway, I won't embarrass you any further. So,
did that last night.
So is it just you and Tony, or it's just the three of you guys? So yes. Are you hosting or are you opening?
I host. Okay. I do like 15 and then host as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what exactly is the Dirty Mexican act?
Well, it kind of stemmed organically for Steve because he used to be a magician.
Okay.
But he'd make mistakes. And he was really bummed about it. He's like, what do I do? Like, I'm making mistakes, and like my act's not up to snuff, and it bummed him out. So Tony gave him the idea, Steve, what if the mistakes are part of the show? Just the character is supposed to mess up.
The Adam Landry of magic.
Yeah. You know what? That's a fair description. But he's been doing that where he's this character who intentionally looks like an idiot.
Is there a Mexican accent involved?
No.
Okay.
There's the poncho and the sombrero and everything else, but he has a Canadian accent for some reason.
Okay.
But however, it kills. It always does really well, and good for him for turning a negative into a positive.
Yeah. All right. I don't know who else is on the show in November. I think David at O'Leary's, David Hall is going to be making his O'Leary's debut. I think that's all I've got lined up.
Like
on
when you
it
say,
so far.
Is that the guy with like 4 names?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's on Facebook though. Just because somebody has a bunch of names on Facebook doesn't mean that you need to refer to them as that. It's always funny when people call the like Brian Joseph Giles, like it's just his Facebook name.
True.
Speaking of which, is taking over headlining duties at People's Pub on Friday the 19th.
That's his crowd. So
yeah. Well, I wasn't saying that I was disappointed. It's going to be a good show. So Brian Giles headlining, Travis and I are on the show, and Brian Godso, I think that's it.
That's a good group of people right there.
Who's hosting, or are we just introducing each other?
I assume that Godso was hosting.
Yeah, probably. All right, well, we'll see. We'll see what that is. And then coming up on the 25th, it's a Thursday, but the show is going to start early enough for everybody to get to sleep. I'm gonna be headlining that one just because, you know, I want to start putting together an hour. I want to do the Fringe Festival again this summer, so got to stretch my legs. Who knows how good it's going to be, but, you know, I've got... Got several years of good material built up. I'm going to mix in some old and new. So that's on Thursday the 25th. Adam Landry is going to be middling on that one. And Brian Giles is skipping class, whatever class he's in, to come out on a Thursday night to host that one. So doors at 7:30. The show is going to start at 8. And hopefully it's not going to be any later than 9:30, so you can get to bed. $8 advance if you want to buy it on Eventbrite. $10 at the door. So if you want to save them $2, and there's no service fee on top of it, I'm eating that. So I'm only getting, well, we are only getting like $7.25 for it. It's a steal. Check that out. And then what else is coming up? Oh, this Saturday, I forgot. Oh, shoot. I got to reach out to people and confirm and make a poster. The Art Bar is this weekend. I forgot all about it until just now. So, yeah, the Art Bar on Saturday. I got to make an event ASAP. But that's what's coming up. So, Saturday the 20th at the Art Bar, Friday the 19th at People's Pub. What was the date of your thing?
November 2nd for O'Leary's and November 7th for Yuck Yucks with Tony Lee.
All right. Well, that's a show, and I'll be back next week with possibly Brian Giles if we can get that together.